A very good morning to you and welcome. This is the Mirai Breakfast, of course, where the big conversation begins every morning. It's 17 minutes past 9 a.m. Now, as hundreds of children go back to school this morning, more than 2.8 million other children remain out of school across the country. Now, floods, conflict, and poverty are the main drivers causing many children to miss out on life-changing education. Now, in South Sudan, the lack of trained teachers remains a challenge. Now, to address this and of course, others, UNICEF and the Ministry of Education are working to ensure that teachers in South Sudan are well trained and compensated for their efforts. Now, for more on this, I'm glad to tell you that I'm joined here with me in the studio, John Yugu, who is education specialist working for UNICEF South Sudan. John, good morning, and it's good to have you on the Mirai Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Mirai FM. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here today.
Thank you. You're most welcome. And also we have David Loila Ladu, who is actually the Acting Director General of Basic and Secondary Education, of course, the Minister of General Education. Welcome, David. Good to have you. Good. We're honored to have you here.
Oh, thank you.
Now, let's go through, of course, and look at the situation of particularly education in South Sudan. First of all, schools opens today. Let's begin with you, David. School opens today, right? Confirm that to us, please.
Yeah, school opens today.
Now, tell us more about more about teachers in classrooms. Is it a concern? Do we have a shortage of teachers in the schools?
Yeah, you see, in 2012, we don't have shortage of teachers completely. Mm-hmm. Being trained teachers or qualified teachers, we don't have shortage of teachers. But after 2013, from 2013 up to 2022, we have a problem of shortages of teachers. Mm-hmm. Because most of qualified teachers and trained teachers, they desert the teaching profession. Mm-hmm. And then because of low numerations, and then they left for green fascia. They went to work in organizations, and others are riding border. Mm-hmm. And so on and so on. So that is why what we have only volunteer teachers, we are left with only few qualified and trained teachers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then we have actually a shortage of teachers. And those volunteers, they are not well trained or qualified. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. All right, we'll get back to you and talk a lot about this. Mr. John, you are education specialist working for UNICEF South Sudan, and of course you work in collaboration with the government and the Ministry of Education. Tell us, in your working with the government, and particularly still on the issues of teachers, how big of a problem are teachers in South Sudan?
Thank you very much. The issue of teachers is a very serious one, and it has been persistent for quite long, as highlighted by my colleague DG. Indeed, we work as UNICEF, we work closely with the Ministry of General Education and Instruction in all aspects of education, and the issue of teachers is what we jointly are trying to address. Mm-hmm. In fact, the main issue right now is the lack of trained teachers. Mm-hmm. There are just very few trained and qualified teachers in the system. As a result, this impacts on the teaching and learning process. But we are working with the Ministry of General Education and Instruction to conduct a kind of teacher training which is called continuous professional development. Mm-hmm. In order to build the capacity of the teachers to be able to deliver the curriculum. And you know, there's a new curriculum. Mm-hmm. This really needs a lot of effort to prepare the teachers to be able to deliver it. So we are continuing with this continuous professional development. The ministry has identified four partners who are better, well qualified to to really train these teachers. And this process is an ongoing process. We hope at the end of the period we will have really trained and qualified teachers in order to improve the quality of education in the country.
Great. Now, Mr. David, the situation of teachers still, and what is the teacher-student ratio right now as we talk?
Student-teacher ratio is actually very difficult to tell.
To say.
Very, very few students, very few teachers in a class, but many
students.
Yeah, in all level, being in preschool, in primary and secondary educations.
We all know how important the role of a teacher is. I mean, like, every profession comes from a teacher because they are trained by teachers. But why are teachers, as you didn't mention earlier, they're not paid enough, and, you know, they're not even given sometimes the allowances. Why is it not taken so serious that this is a profession that needed to be, you know, prioritized in a way?
By the way, I think in 2021, the government has seen to it, especially our president, Salva Kiir Mayardit, has increased the salary of teachers by 100%. And indeed, the salary that I'm getting, and that was in 2020, the beginning of 2021, is not like the one that I'm getting. Me, as in grade one, I'm getting by then 7,125. But now I'm getting 20,400, and I expect the government is discussing over, because our educational budget is being increased. Definitely, surely this year our salary is not going to be the same. And I'm sure those teachers who have left, they may come back if our salaries is being increased by the government of South Sudan.
Great.
Together in collaboration with our development partners, especially UNICEF.
Yes, and that's where John comes in here. John, as an education specialist with UNICEF, how are you helping in this particular aspect?
The area of paying incentives for teachers, we did pay one time. We gave a payment one time, and that was through the support from EU.
Yes.
We were able to pay slightly over 34,000 teachers.
Yes.
They got incentives for 3 months, and that was a one-time payment. Now, the next thing we are moving into is hard-to-reach areas. We have worked with the ministry to identify some hard-to-reach areas where teachers will undergo some training, and they will be paid some training allowance to these teachers. But the number is not a very big one. We are targeting 8,450 both qualified and volunteers in hard to reach areas. I must emphasize this. The targeted areas are those which have been identified as hard to reach. But the problem we are talking about here is quite a huge problem. The system has a very high number of teachers, because your education cannot do without teachers.
Absolutely.
Teachers play a very critical role. So because of funding constraints, you find that it's not easy to really pay incentives to all the teachers at the moment.
Great. And yes, one of the issues, of course, as UNICEF, you're so concerned about children going to school, and we all understand in the country here, sometimes we live in poverty as such. Now, one of the issues is the poor nutrition system that can negatively affect academic performance of students. Are there provision of for children to receive nutrition or food at schools that UNICEF is helping?
Not really directly with UNICEF, but UNICEF and WFP have worked jointly to really ensure that at least some learners get what they used to call school feeding, they benefit from the school feeding program. In the past, what UNICEF did was we agreed with WFP that UNICEF will improve the infrastructure in the school in order for the schools to qualify for school feeding, and then WFP will give the food. That has happened. But I must also highlight here that together with all the implementing partners, under the leadership of the Minister of General Education and Instruction, a homegrown school feeding strategy was developed, and really they are now looking at implementing this strategy with a costed plan so that really children will benefit from nutritious food.
Great. David, take us through that particular plan of homegrown food for these schools.
Yeah. You see, thank you. Before I go through that question, I would like to say something briefly regarding what John Yugo has said. Indeed, you see, World Food together with UNICEF, effectively, they are working really greatly in our schools. Taking, for example, World Food is feeding, is taking food to 61 counties across the country. And in these 61 counties, we have schools there, you see. And schools, children who are benefiting in that 61 counties, we have 580,000. These are learners which are benefiting from World Food feeding. And this year, 2022, we have included refugees, pupils. They are also going to benefit from this one. See this great number. They are benefiting actually from this. Regarding the school feeding, this one,
the homegrown.
Homegrown school feeding, we have come out with the policy. And as a technocrats, we have passed it to steering committee, which is under the responsibility of undersecretaries, we became a policy. Now we have in Yambio, we have a pilot project of this homegrown school feeding, and also in Mogi we have this one. It was very successful. Instead, World Food taking food is buying from localities and take this food to schools. This is very, very, very significant. It means that after 5 years or 10 years, definitely World Food will not be bringing food from overseas, but within the localities.
Great. If you just join us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show with me, Sebit William, and today we are discussing, of course, on our school reopening, and we're focusing on teachers and school programs. My guest today in the studio, we have John Yugo, who is education specialist working for UNICEF South Sudan, and we have David Luela Ladu, who is the Director General of Basic and Secondary Education in the Ministry of General Education and Instruction. You can call us later and talk to my guests here in the studio. Any question you have that you would like to ask, please don't hesitate. You can answer. They will be here to help answer those questions. Now, Mr. John, let's talk about the imbalance when it comes to school attendance between girls and boys. You find that in the early education, probably primary one or two, the numbers are always literally competing or less the same. But as the ladder continues, you find that there are less girls and less girls in school. What is being done to encourage more girls to continuously be in school until they finish their education?
Thank you very much for that question. You see, that's a real issue that has been on the table for quite long. Indeed, as you highlighted, the enrollment of girls tends to drop because, you know, there's a high dropout rate for girls, especially as they grow up and become mature. So there are issues of early marriages, which are there, early pregnancies are there, And also some of these are cultural. You find that the parents or the communities, some communities tend to really favor boys rather than girls. So that creates the imbalance, and it's a well-documented imbalance that is being addressed. And what we did in the past with the ministry was to develop a girls' education strategy. That strategy helped to really try to mitigate some of the issues that are affecting girls. For us as UNICEF, we do a lot of advocacy at the community level, especially during back to learning campaigns, to ensure that really all children who are out of school go to school. But we find that in so doing, we create awareness among the parents so that they can send their girls to school as well as the boys, so that really this gender parity is reached. But this is something that requires quite some time and a lot of effort. Although our advocacy is showing results, I think a lot more effort needs to be put so that the community is sensitized to really stop some of these barriers, address the barriers that are affecting girls from learning.
Great. Director General, you like to add something on that, please?
Absolutely. The practical part of it that we have made, and it is very successful together with our development partners. Number one, we have formulated bylaws for boys and girls to have equal treatment in terms of education. Number two, ministry together with development partners, especially UNICEF, provision of girl incentives. I think people are aware. And this girl incentive is starting from P5 to P8 and then senior one as a senior four. And then you see a dramatic increase of our girls in the whole country. And also number three, girls were given dry ratio, especially in rural areas, to take home. And that is why even in rural areas, there is increase in enrollment. Recently, I came from two states. I went to 8 schools, especially in Awili state. I found that the number of girls in enrollment is far better than the one of boys. And then another thing that also ministry together with our development partners doing menstruation kits are given, especially UNICEF is working on that reason. These girls who are having menstrual periods, definitely, if they don't have these menstrual kits,
sanitary pads,
definitely
they won't come to school.
They will not come to school. This is continuously happening across the country. The last thing is scholarships. Scholarship, but not only to girls, but given to all boys and girls. And this is going to start effectively this year.
All right, thank you. Yes, and you can talk to us this morning here on the Mirai Breakfast. So we'll be taking your calls. But as we, before we take your calls, this is going to you, Director General. Just as the school reopens today, tell us when will the senior one pupils, for example, be enrolled to school and have the P8 already exams papers being marked?
You see, this thing is seem to be repeating itself. Last year it was so. And then this year also the same thing. I think the money or liquidity issue of money not been released immediately for marking of this one. But I'm sure even schools have opened. Technically, we Ministry in Education and all our schools, they know, like the one of last year, senior one came late. And then technically our teachers in the field, they know how to go about it. But I'm sure these exams papers are going to be marked soon, and then our first year they are going to be enrolled. all over the country.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, now let's take some phone calls. You can talk to my guests here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Let's take our first caller in this particular segment. Good morning. Your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Good morning, Mr. William. This is Lual Garang. Here from Malakal.
Lual Garang from Malakal. Welcome, Lual, and please go ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sir William. I would like to welcome the guest in the studio.
Thank you.
They have actually explained what is going on. Mm-hmm. Like, quality education defined with the qualified teachers. But now in South Sudan, teachers are under fire. You see, all the teachers, all qualified teachers have just gone at what some of them describe as green pastures. You see, to me, what is happening in South Sudan is another marginalization. Because the son of the poor and daughters of the poor will remain poor forever. And those who are able, either in the government or where they may be, they will take their children abroad to study. You see, to me, what I would like to say, education system must be handed over to international partners, such that people will be paid in dollars, teachers will be paid in dollars, or well wishes must take over education for quality education in South Sudan. Or otherwise, if it is going to remain like this, then the future of the poor people will remain poor. So that is what I would like to comment on it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lual Garang from Malakal, for your thought here, of course, on the Miraya Breakfast. So now, Lual Garang is saying that the education sector sometimes is not being taken so serious because some of the people who can afford always take their children to the neighboring countries, and so no really serious efforts have been put in place to improve the education system in the country. He did also suggest that the education system should be handed over to some international organizations or communities so they can help. What is your thought on this, Mr. David?
You see, I myself, I will not suggest that idea that he has said.
Mm-hmm.
What I know, everything will come to normality.
Mm-hmm.
Sincerely speaking, as the country is now in peace,
mm-hmm.
everything is going to be 100% plus.
All right. Okay, so John, would you like to answer something that Mr. Lual Garang said?
I just would like to thank him for giving his opinion, and really the issue he has referred to, the issue of teachers, is very serious, mm-hmm. which needs to be addressed, and we are all as partners trying to address these issues.
Mm-hmm.
As for UNICEF, we are working also at the upstream level, strengthening the education system.
Mm-hmm.
And really, once the education system gains strength, I think this is a responsibility that the country will take, because mm-hmm. It's, in my own opinion, it's not good to hand over the mm-hmm. system
it's
to
not the responsibility
to a third party.
Of a third party.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
Yes. Mr. David, also
yes.
coming back, he initially said that many teachers have gone to look for greener pasture. Is this something that is happening? Have we seen a lot of teachers leaving the profession to go and work for probably NGOs, or even others going joining the army? And I heard these stories from other places that others joining the army, or even teachers just decide to go do border so they can feed their families. Is this something that you see all the time?
What I know, as I've said it briefly some minutes ago, this situation of teachers, this is in teaching profession, is the most important job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure if our salaries increases, and this is what I have seen the budget of education is being approved by our legislative assembly. Definitely everything is going to be in order. Those who have gone to look for green fossil, they are going to come back either this year or next year. And you will see that education system in South Sudan will come, as I mentioned it, before 2013. Everything was good.
All right. Let's take some more calls. If you just join us this morning here, we are talking about the reopening of schools. We are talking about particularly teachers as well. And UNICEF is here with us in the studio. We have John Yugu, who is the education specialist with UNICEF South Sudan. We have David Luella Lado, who is the Director General of Basic and Secondary Education, Minister of General Education and Instruction. Talk to us and be live on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Sabah al khair.
Sabah al nur, marhab.
Maakum Joseph, Malad Joseph, Dar Manwara Wala, Awuli Shindi.
Yes, Joseph, marhab bek tu wale.
I'm a small metaya, Osas, Masi Lel Asas, Yaki, Sidi Ma Sabah. And then I say, Tina al Madaris. الأولاد كتار في السنة ده ما مشى في المدارس أكثر 60% ما خشى في المدارس وسؤال بتاعهم كده أو الجهة بتاعهم كده هم قال في بعض الأولاد والبنات قال يعني المدارس قوانين بتاع المدارس ما صحيح يعني في زمن أقدم في بعض الناس كتار وشيتين أقزام يعني ده ما خلى الأولاد في سنة دل خلش المدارس يعني قال أقزام ما في محله عشان كده وقف الناس كتار وكلام التسجيل كمان خلش فوز وفي ناس واقين قال أننا نسجل في أكثر قروش وبعد الأقزام ما بيجي في محله كلام ده أنا داير نسأله في الضيوف الكرام جاء في الاستديو مع صباح
Sukran kali simamu saraka bitag na wedi fursa tuwali kamande David asan bijua bitafi kalamde David wasil gdam tuwali
Sukran kalamda masahi wa kan sahi azunu zol andi na Secretary General ta Examination Council who can book and be the right person to answer it. This because I'm from general education.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And yes, the issue, as you heard right there, of it has my Joseph, he's not the right person to answer that particular question on malpractices or examination malpractices. We'll try to get for you those answers if we can. Let's take another caller. Good morning. Hello? Hello? All right, let's take another call. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, welcome.
You are speaking to Samuel from Malakal.
Samuel from Malakal, it's good to have you, Samuel. Please go ahead with your comment or question.
Okay, just I want to put your comment and put my question. You know, Sir William, I have asked, there is somebody who says that if you want to build the country, strengthen the education. If you want to kill the country also, you have to go and kill the education system. And that is what I have seen in South Sudan. We have already forget something called education, and we have already killed our nation. If we can look at what is going on in our country, all the masses, all of them are the reason because people are literate. People are not educated. And I can remember two things. When Gerald was alive, he was talking of two things. One is education, and the second thing is agriculture. Also, we are now killing those institutions. You can imagine if from primary up to secondary school teacher is receiving something like 10,000 or below 10,000. And then somebody from university, lecturer from university, is receiving 540. And some of them are receiving 530. And even the official from the university is receiving over 100,000. And then the teacher, who is the one responsible for those who will go to university, because if there is no education teacher from down here, there is nobody from university. He's receiving only the money that the minister himself just for teach. That money is only for tea. It is inside. Where can we go with this situation? I want to ask the director exactly what is the problem with the general education. Is it, are you not fair enough to talk to the government and to increase the money of education, general education, instead of, or what did this, how did the higher education government increase the money of the universities? Because we were aware they were complaining together years back. And recently we were seeing the parliamentarian also, they are increasing their money to 800,000. Do you want us to leave this country, then we leave it to you, the politician, that to loot it forever or what? That is my question now. Because the children that are now backing on the road, these are the children of those who fight for this country. And then those who survive now, they are now looting the money, beating, sending the money outside. For what? Why should we attain our independence? Is it we attain our independence to be killed using the tactics? What is going on in this country?
All right.
Let him explain exactly what is the problem with the Minister of Education.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Samuel from Malakal. And yes, Director General, please, yes, talk to Samuel. What will you tell him?
Yeah, what he has said is true, but we have raised all this complaint to the higher authority of the country, mm-hmm, and they have heard it. That is why some few minutes ago I said, our salaries has been increased, mm-hmm, in 2021, and then also people in Legislative Assembly, mm-hmm, our budget for education has been changed, mm-hmm, from low, it has gone up.
Okay.
So it means that they are trying to settle,
mm-hmm,
they are trying to settle issues in general education for teachers in preschool, primary and secondary. And sooner or later we'll come to the level of those who are in the universities. So let us be patient.
Okay.
Yeah.
Patience it is. And John, he started by saying something very important. If you want to kill a nation and then just, you know, destroy the education system, as an educationalist or education specialist, how important is having a better quality of education in a country like South Sudan?
Okay, thank you. I think Samuel from Malakal really gave a strong quote.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a quote which is in place. But indeed, the quality of education is a very important factor in the country. And that is what partners and the Ministry of Education is driving towards, improving the quality of education. A lot needs to be done. Gradually, I hope things will move forward. And in fact, the starting point is the quality of the teachers themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows if the system is full of volunteers who are untrained, I think that will reflect itself in the learning outcomes. There will be low learning outcomes. But the purpose of a child going to school is to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, really, when the teacher's capacity is developed, then indeed the quality of the education will improve, given that materials are being provided.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with the quote he has said.
Mm-hmm.
Really, in strengthening the education system of this country is very, very important.
Thank you so much. And it's coming on to only 9 minutes to the top of the hour, and probably we have five more minutes, so we can take two or three calls. Please go ahead and call us, so be live on the program. Good morning.
Hello. Yeah.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yabam, Peter Wien in Malakal.
Yes, Yabam in Malakal. Yabam, Munu?
Peter Wien.
Peter, yes. Peter, what's the name?
Thank you. I have just only two questions.
Mm-hmm.
To the mayor.
Yes.
About the training, what they said before. Are you going to include volunteers? Because there's a lot of volunteers in the South Sudan right now so far.
Are you going to employ? What I'm afraid, Peter, your line is a little scrappy.
I'm talking about the training.
Okay, training of teachers. Because most of the teachers are volunteers. Is that your question?
Are you going to follow the teachers? Because South Sudan have many volunteer teachers here in our school.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Number two, there's a private school. The private school also, is it, are you going to include in training the teachers when you are studying the training?
Mm-hmm.
Private school, they are not being included.
All right. Thank you so much, Peter, for your question. And yes, Mr. John, earlier you mentioned that UNICEF, of course, is helping in training of teachers. And Peter particularly would like to know, many volunteer teachers, are you going to train them, and how about, you know, those teachers in private schools?
Peter in Malakal, the short answer is volunteer teachers will be trained because they are the ones holding, you know, the schools. Without such teachers, I think schools would have closed a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, volunteer teachers will be included in these trainings. They are already, in fact, in the trainings that have started. That's for the first question. For the second question, the first training I mentioned is in hard-to-reach areas.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers who are in hard-to-reach areas, and you may agree with me that in those hard-to-reach areas, those remote areas, finding private schools is not easy. Most of the schools are community,
mm-hmm,
community schools. So the teachers in those community schools are the ones, you know, undergoing this training.
Right.
Under the outreach, hard-to-reach area project funded by EU.
All right, and that brings us to 6 minutes to the top of the hour, where the news will be coming in. Thank you so much, John and David, for coming to Murera Studios. But just before you go, let's begin with you, John. What will be your final remarks or message, on particularly as schools have started and the work of UNICEF in this?
Yes, as schools have started, in fact, even before schools could start, as UNICEF, what we did was some kind of advocacy. If you move around Juba, for example, you will see a lot of billboards standing up there, passing messages about the importance of education, and particularly the teacher aspect. You will find billboards that are saying, my teacher, my hero, mm-hmm, for example. Teaching is my passion. If you move around, you will see all those.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is really to encourage, you know, everyone to go to school, especially those even in the hard-to-reach areas in the communities, encouraging them through what we refer to as back to learning campaigns. So we have teams out there campaigning, really sensitizing the communities. So I would like to highlight that really it is important for communities to send their children to school, because education is a very important aspect that all children have a right to. Therefore, they should be given this right. Really, I would like to also thank the teachers who are out there, even if they are mostly volunteers. I think they are doing a very great job, and I would like to take the opportunity to encourage, you know, these teachers to continue providing the teaching service wherever they are, because this is a noble cause.
Thank you.
I'm happy with their commitment.
Thank you. Thank you so much, John Yugu, for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate your time. Director General David, what would be your remarks, please?
My remarks is that this year, the number of student enrollment in all three levels will be greater. So I'm requesting our development partners who are working hand in hand with Ministry of Education to help us this year, because there's a voluntary repatriation of refugees returnees in South Sudan. So far, those who are voluntary have come to the south is 387,000.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine they come with their children. So we are going to have a problem of with space. So as UNICEF has started, we are constructing together in other states temporary learning space. Let us make this one very fast, so that when they come, then we will not have a problem of learning spaces.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, David, for coming to Mirai Studios, and thank you, John. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, and with that, we come to the end of the Mirai Breakfast Show for this Monday morning. Thank you so much for your company. And yes, catch us tomorrow if you can. Same time, same program, same radio station. I've been with you, Sevit William, and earlier we were with Irene Lasso. Bye-bye for now, and do have a lovely day.